On this episode four, this is three, not four, we'll be joined by three different musicians from three different parts of the world exploring the topic, what's happening with the independent musicians worldwide. For an example, when you first think of Australia, what cover first comes to mind? Kangaroo playing didgeridoos? Do you know that NXS came from Australia? But what is going on with the independent musicians over in Australia? Now, what about Canada? Do you guys picture drinking, moose drinking hot cocoa while watching hockey? Would you be surprised if icons like Bryan Adams and Neil Young came from Canada? But what's happening with the independent musicians over there in Canada? And when you first think of local music scenes, are you thinking of Starbucks first? I'm kidding. I know. It's all about Nirvana and Jimi Hendrix and Sir Mix-a-Lot. They are from here, Seattle as well. But what's going on with independent musicians in Seattle? Does anyone know? Okay. Now, again, these three musicians are not strangers to Let's Talk About the Music. We got King George, who is self, that's his name because of his project name, and also Yuri Theater in Australia, and Shauna Speck, which I call her Sprocket. She is a singer-songwriter from Canada, and solo artist Giselle from the Theater Butterfly here in Pacific Northwest. Now, the conversation that we had, I was not expecting what we covered, but we covered what they're going through, the aftermath of COVID-19 that is still having a hard time starting worldwide. I did not know. Anyway, so we're going to dive into that conversation right after, you know it, Papa Satch, play that brand new theme song. Hit it, guys. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the band. Let's talk about the music. Let's talk about the sound. Let's talk about the new. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the new. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the new. Yes. All right. So welcome to the third episode of Let's Talk About the Music, or is this my fourth? I don't know. I lost count. Anyway, so this episode, we are going to share each other's local music scene, learn and support each other worldwide. It's a little bit different because we have three people from three different countries, literally three different countries. And we're going to introduce each and every one of them one by one. So start with Shauna.
Okay.
You got five minutes. I'll have my little timer on. And if you take up the whole 5 minutes, I'll give you like a little one. You got 1 minute. If not, then you can pass the torch to whoever you want to tap for, whoever you want to pass it to.
A hook will show up and it'll pull me off the screen.
There you go. Got it. All right. All right. And Shauna, go.
Okay. My name is Shauna Speck, and I am a solo singer-songwriter, although I have been in a couple of little bands, but primarily I play solo. My music, I guess, has been described as alternative folk pop or singer-songwriter, that sort of thing. I got into music a little bit later in life. It was kind of like my midlife crisis, right? I was in my 40s and got this crazy idea to record an album. That was 9 years ago. So I'm giving away my age, but that's okay. So I recorded the album and played a bit just around the Edmonton area, which is where I'm from. And I kind of dove right into it. And people had the impression that I had probably been playing around for a while already because I had an album. But the truth is I did things backwards and I started with an album. Before that, I had only done open stages. I do have a video out there somewhere in Shaunaland, and I don't really know what more to tell you about myself. My influences are quite varied across genres. I grew up with country, but country isn't what I ended up playing. And I'm a big Neil Finn fan. I'm Crowded House, Split Enz, if anybody is into them at all. And so there's some influence from that on my music. And I have three cats.
That she fed right before the show started.
Exactly. Right. They're fed.
There you go.
Yep. King. My name's George from the band called King George. And I've also got another side project, an electronic project called the Euro Theatre. But King George is a rock, not too hard, sort of rock pop project. We've got two albums out. Our third one comes out probably in about a month or two. We're just mastering that. Got a whole bunch of video clips out there. Played in Japan a couple of times, up in Toronto, played in Indie Week over there and Canadian Music Week. We had one of our albums was nominated for the Independent Music Awards, so we got to go to New York for that awards ceremony. The Euro Theatre Project is an electronic retro project, which is a tribute to 80s movies and visuals and stuff like that. So I've taken that on tour as well. It was just a little accidental project that I did for fun, and then it kind of took off. So from Melbourne in Australia, you know, we know Neil Finn well and Crowded House. Well, they're New Zealanders. Well, half of them, but we claim him as Australian because, you know, Paul Hester, the drummer as well, Crowded House, who unfortunately isn't with us anymore, but he just lived here in Melbourne, not too far away from me. I'm not interesting enough to say anything for 5 minutes. I think that's
all right.
That's all I got. Well,
sorry. Listen, most musicians do take 5 minutes. That's the reason why I give everyone 5 minutes. If I don't, then you guys just go on. Yeah. All right, Giselle, you are next if you want to pass the torch. So,
hi, everyone. I'm Giselle. My music is mostly released under the moniker Fatal Butterfly. That's all caps with the fatal, but... and I used to run a band, and the pandemic made that kind of just a really frustrating situation. So now my music is a solo project that I do. But I've been performing since 1980 in some capacity or other. And this is kind of, I guess, like the pinnacle of my craziness. I mostly write either horror punk kind of stuff, or I write kind of social commentary punk or something. I get into a little bit, I'm trying to push myself into more metal and grunge and rock, but that's kind of where I'm at. And I've merged my abilities, so when I perform my solo, sometimes I tap dance with my song, sometimes I do ballet. I mean, it's kind of a vaudeville variety act, kind of burlesque-y, but not any nudity sort of experience, I would say. So Shelley's seen it. I mean,
yeah, I have. It's different. You think she's yelling at somebody in the beginning, but no, it's part of her act. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's part of her act.
I roast comedy.
It's kind of more like a comedy act with music. Show and tell, or show and, I don't know what you can call it, but.
Yeah.
It's fun. She wanted to take her project to Vegas, so that's what she's trying to accomplish.
Maybe someday, you know.
All right. So what's your fluences?
Oh, man. You know, I grew up in ballet. So I do identify a lot with really melodic music. But then I was also a 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, 2000 kid. So my influences are all over the freaking place. And anything that was top 40 in the last 40 years probably has influenced me somewhere. Probably not much in like the really hardcore rap side, but I can't say that country has not influenced me. That would be a lie. I just don't write country.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I think you just absorb everything you ever listen to. So
true. All right. Anything else before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. And I am Shells. I am the host of Let's Talk About the Music. I've been a broadcaster since I was age. I want to be in broadcast until I was 12, but I didn't really do anything until I was in my high school years, 16. And then I went on to college and then tried to get in radio and stopped for a second. And now I'm doing podcasting. And in the past 6 years, I've been doing radio broadcasting at KGRG and Lori getting my business license. So that's me in a nutshell. So that's what I've been doing and getting ready to go get my bachelor's degree. Yay. So anyway, and I'm here in Tacoma, Washington. So, and for those who remember, if you don't know where Tacoma is, you can Google it. Anyway. All right. So the main point of this show, which I mentioned earlier before, was to get to know the local scene in different countries, at least have an idea what we all have. Now, are we separate or are we have the exact same issues that everybody else in the local scenes? So I want to start with King George because he's out there in Australia and I want to know how he's doing. And then I want to go to Shauna and then go to Giselle. I call you Giselle. So shush. All right. Go ahead, George.
The scene here, I think COVID has pretty much reset everyone. And the venues that were there before that, not all of them are there. They've struggled as businesses. And I really think they got the rough end of a lot of the support that should have been there. I'm a little bit outspoken about it, to be honest, because the music community, I don't think really was shouting or I guess it was unified enough to really have a voice, and governments ignored them. So some of the venues struggled like a lot of other businesses. And I think some of those venues were the ones that were giving new bands and new artists a chance to, you know, those smaller ones. You know, in Melbourne, we have this reputation of being the music capital of Australia. I think we still do have that. It's 7 nights a week you could find a gig. There's always a band playing. But I think post that, particularly our city's been struggling. And the suburbs have flourished a little bit because people are working from home now. What's flourishing are small businesses with cafe shops and that. But in the city, the government struggled to get people back into town. Therefore, you know, Thursday, Friday night, there's not as many people out there to go see bands. So I think it's recovering now that, you know, some of the bands were a bit more established, have started touring overseas again. Some bands like Aussie band, Melbourne bands like the Press Club and all that, they're all touring everywhere. But I think the smaller bands, it's been hard. And like I said, I'm not, you know, the problem is It's interesting because the governments here, I'm trying to be a bit careful, but governments here have who would traditionally support the arts, you know, they didn't really do enough, you know, the party that's been running our state here. But anyway, I think that's across the board, I'm assuming. So, although I painted a pretty bleak picture, I think it's getting a lot better now. It is.
Okay. All right. Shauna, how's Canada doing?
Oh, you know what? Pretty much the same story. We lost some really, really great venues in terms of the smaller ones. Of course, they were hurt a lot by COVID. And then it was a lot of things. It was the music wasn't happening, and we lost the venues. And then I've heard other people say the same thing, that it was kind of hard to get back into the rhythm again. We were kind of not used to being out there so much anymore, and it's like everybody became more introverted or something, and getting out there and playing the music and such wasn't happening as much. I haven't been as in touch with the local scene as I was before COVID. And I would have to say that is partially because of COVID. And I know I'm not the only one who's in that boat. I know other musicians who are just now starting to kind of get back into that rhythm again, getting out there and playing. I'm finally kind of putting a fire under my own butt to get something going here in the next year. A lot of us just, I don't know, I guess you lose that. Part of it is losing a routine. Part of it is a breakdown, I think, of those connections. It's all of a sudden the musicians that you're used to seeing or playing with, you haven't seen them in a couple of years or a few years. And, you know, it's kind of rekindling some of those musical relationships again and getting back out into crowded venues again. It's kind of funny that, you know, in terms of the audience, the people aren't going out to the same degree that they were before COVID. So it's kind of hitting it from all angles, right? But it all comes down to that same common denominator, the COVID, right? And so we're kind of in this reset world now, and just kind of trying to get that scene going again. I'm seeing some things happening more. I'm seeing a little bit more of shows happening again for bands that I was familiar with. And there's a lot of new bands out there, I guess, that I'm not so familiar with. So I could only be seeing part of the picture. But it's definitely been a change. Even our Edmonton Music Awards, they stopped because of COVID. Did they stop because of COVID? And they haven't picked up again. I mean, we're long past COVID, and we haven't had any EMAs. So I was kind of shocked to hear that it just hasn't been happening, because I'm like, have I been so out of the loop that I've missed the EMAs? And it's like, no, they just haven't been happening. And you got to kind of wonder if that's kind of playing into things a little bit too. You know, people are not setting certain goals, you know, with kind of some of those things in mind. I'm not sure, but there's definitely been a change, similar to what George was saying. But you know, I think we all have to work towards bringing that back as musicians, as audience members, as, you know, music supporters. It'll take a little bit from everyone, a lot from everyone, I think, to get things back to how they were before. But what I wonder, though, too, is, I mean, there are things that needed to be, changes that needed to come. I wonder if this is a good opportunity for us to sort of redefine the music scene a little bit, because there were changes that needed to happen, but that's a whole other show.
Right. All right, Giselle, tell us.
You're more
into it than I am.
Yeah, I mean, it really, like, as far as our scene goes, we, for like the metal and punk scene, a number of my friends and even my band was like a full thing. We were all on the edge of like launching up a level, right? So we had all started kind of getting larger shows and all that stuff. And the way it hit, it was like, if you had stuff booked, it all got canceled, you know, and there's been like a reshuffling. So some bands made it. Some bands made it through. And the ones that like were really solid cover or type bands, they did, they're still doing all right. Like they are actually booking good shows. I know a few of them that are, you know, playing out at the casino, and they're like, so they're booking, you know, $2,000 shows or something like that, right? But the bands that were not at that spot, either we fell apart and we've reshuffled. Some of us have like gone through four projects in the last couple of years. I buckled down and just said, fuck it, I'm going solo. I'm just going to do that. And, you know, I lost patience. I got frustrated. And I still, even when I try and like start a project up, it's just that part of me maybe isn't excited enough. So I don't, you know, I can't get people to come together because I feel like I can handle it. And maybe I'm just too frustrated. So I just kind of, you know what I mean? They always fall apart.
Yeah.
And venue wise, we lost what, 80% of our venues over here?
Oh,
on
yeah.
The west side of Washington, 80%.
Coma too.
So that 20% that's still there, some of them are the same and they're still trying to roll their same business plan, or they're making sure they book really big draw shows, at least one or two, like every week or something. So it's really, really hard to get to book local, like to get a show like into certain venues, because if you can't guarantee like a full house, they're going to go with whoever can guarantee a full house, right?
Right.
Some of the venues have expanded out so that they're jumped up to 500 people. So again, if you can't guarantee that pull, you're not going to book there. So that's like the challenge now, is if you don't have a really big draw, it's really hard to get a venue. It's really hard to book a show. It's really hard to get them to give you that promise, you know, and trust. Yeah. Whereas you used to before the pandemic, man, that was easy. That was so easy. When I started in 2013, so easy. I had like five different bookers constantly hitting me up. You know what I mean? Like, and we were a brand new band. We weren't that great. We didn't have anything originals written. We were fucking up covers. and now it's like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. You need to promise me 200 people or fuck off.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I'm not joking. So I am like, that's a lot of people. Some of us are just kind of regrouping and, you know, changing up our business plan, expanding, seeing if we can book outside of our local area. Yeah.
Yeah. Down here in Tacoma, the scene used to be hopping. I mean, you can go down the road and there's a show, and or there's a show just down the road, or around the river block, or you can go to Seattle. You can catch everything. And there's a lot of venues that did not make it, that did close down, that would actually book small bands with larger to a small. We'll get their start, like the Swiss is no longer around. They will book small bands, and they will bring in climax bands that will actually help bring in the draw, so the young bands can actually get a start to see what it's like to have be playing big bands. So that was a big thing that we lost over here.
We lost that. We really lost that. They don't do that anymore. They don't go, okay, I'm going to book two high heavy draws and one newbie. They don't do that anymore. I had bookers who specifically did that. They would like, okay, you barely played. We're going to put you on this bill with these two other bands that are really strong, and we're going to throw a comedian in there. And it would be a great show and great draw, you know what I mean? And they don't do that anymore. Now it's all big money, because everybody's still trying to make up for the losses.
Right.
Literally.
Now, King George, are you back out in the scene and doing bands and doing shows? And how often are you?
We haven't been playing. I mean, we've been recording for the last 2 years. And the appetite for us, I mean, it's just about getting back on and then dealing with everything again. Maybe it's, I guess, where we are, what stage we are in our musical journey, maybe a little bit older now. Yeah, we're not actively playing shows. It's becoming more of a studio project. And I've been collaborating with other people. Like, I went to Japan last year and did some recording and videos with an artist there. We didn't really play shows. We toured there a few years before COVID. So it's kind of like, it just feels different. And maybe those who had that stronger business plan, I guess, or fan base, could still break through and sort of make it happen. We're in a, you know, I think maybe it's a comfort zone being a more of a studio act or just sort of doing it. And, you know, because you go on the road, you've got to get, you know, we got to get another couple of guys to play and organize it all. And, you know, people aren't as lenient with, you know, they want guaranteed numbers or whatever. And it's just really hard. So, but there are other bands here that are getting back on board. And, like there's a girl, Carly Jewell, who's from Melbourne. She's amazing. Just keeps on fighting and pushing and, you know, getting herself out there, you know. But then there's the bands who have got obviously signed and they've got their, some type of profile, but it's just harder to, you know, Australian bands have always been renowned for, like, you know, bands like INXS and Midnight Oil and, you know, that was a long time ago when they were younger, but they were playing every night. They were playing everywhere. Even 8 shows a week, you know, sometimes, you know, lunchtime or, you know, all ages shows and all that. Well, you know, it's just harder, it seems, for bands to tour and really grind, get their art nailed as well. It's like you have to shortcut to being really, really good, just like straight away. So some of these younger bands are really feel for them because I don't think there's enough for them to keep on touring and they have to keep on working their day jobs and all that to make it work. And I think that when young bands have to do that, it's just difficult because, you know, we need, if there's really young bands that are talented, you know, we've got to nurture that talent and let their first album not be that good. Let them build towards their second and third album, but the industry doesn't, this isn't related to COVID. I think it was happening before that, but, and I think that's a big problem. I really think it's, radio stations here are very difficult. You know, we're a very small market, you know. Our population is small for the size of our country. And we've got similar sizes in our countries, but you've got, like, I don't know, 300 million more people than us or something like that. But, you know, so then you have radio stations who play mainstream music and then you only have a handful that will play independent acts, you have a national broadcaster that's supposed to play, you know, independent and young bands, but there's gatekeepers there that, you know, block people. So I still think that, you know, it's always been a problem like that, but I think, and the internet maybe has diluted things as well, you know. People putting things out there, but yeah, so we don't have any television shows that would promote local acts. I don't know what's happening in America, but like I'd see in American television would be late night talk shows where I'd see American bands like on David Letterman that I never heard of, and or shows like that. Here in Australia, we used to have a show called Countdown, and after that we had another late night Saturday night show, entertainment show, that would put on young bands and introduce them. Even television's kind of let us down and saturated with all the voice shows, all those competition shows, what's it called, The Idol and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe I'm being too negative today. I still think there's some great artists out there, but you have to work harder to find them.
Yeah. All right. Shana?
And the question was, or do you want me to just respond to what George was saying?
Probably respond to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. What you were, what you were saying about things like The Voice and Idol and that. And I think they sort of put this idea in people's head that everyone needs to automatically be that polished package. Like they're expecting, they want to listen to this polished package. And these young bands that are starting out, maybe it's a little bit harder to get out there. And like you were talking about, you know, let them have that first bad album or whatever. I don't think there's the growing room that there used to be. I think that in a way those shows maybe don't give an accurate representation of what to expect out there. And I think it's, you need a community that is willing to sort of, I don't know, cradle these young bands and watch them grow. And I think it's today's climate makes it a little bit, musical climate makes it a little bit harder to do that. It's like you walk in and it's like, oh, we accept you or we don't, because that's what happens on, you know, you go audition for some show and they say either you're good enough or you're not, you know, and it's so cut and dried. And there's a lot of young musicians out there, a lot of local bands that they just need that time to grow, and they need that community and the venues that will nurture that and allow them to grow and not expect them to be perfect right off the bat, and to let that first album not be that great, and to let that first show not be that great, but maybe see the potential. And I don't know if maybe we were more open to that in the past. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think we were definitely more open to like growing pains in performance and the possibility of like bloopers, and you know what I mean? And I think that, yeah, the coming out of the pandemic, the competition level, what the audience expects you to perform at, what, like, you know, visually and everything. I mean, we had Taylor Swift come into Seattle. She sucked every single fan out of every single bar, restaurant, gym, everything. Sucked them all into one stadium. Okay? She was so loud that people who didn't want to hear her, you know, a mile away heard her. Okay. She set some crazy noise record or something. I don't even know. Like, I didn't go. I don't learn her stuff. I respect her as a performer, but my God, woman, learn how to share. You know what I'm saying? Like, you literally, like, learn how to share. So she did a bunch of great, wonderful shit. But you know what? She didn't acknowledge or give a fuck, excuse my language, about any of the local musicians. None of us. She didn't run around and research who we were and send us a little, hey, I'm super glad you're performing. It's so awesome to join you in your hometown message. She could have found every single one of us, local Seattle, Tacoma, 2,000, 5,000 musicians, and sent us something. Anything. But instead, what does she do? She sucks all of her fan base. So any of us who had a show that night, nobody came. I went to a bar that night. Nobody came. They all went there. That's what happens every time one of those mega performers rolls into town. So what, we got Pink in town? I love Pink. I would love to be on stage with her. I would love to be one of her dancers. I would love to do anything with that woman. But is she ever going to even notice I exist? No. She doesn't notice I exist. I don't exist for her. But I can tell you one thing. I'm just as good of a performer as she is. I can do shit that she can't do. I can sing, play guitar, tap dance, all the backtracks. I can do all that wonderful fucking shit. I can do any of what she does, but I don't have the money and I don't have anybody backing me like that. So I don't get to put on that level of a show. So what happens? I don't even bother booking shows if I know some giant performers coming in, because none of my friends are going to show up. They're going to all go to the Metallica concert for two nights in a row. They're going to all go see some performer and they're going to pay them $300, $400, $500 for a ticket, and they're not going to even bother coming to my show. The same people who I've gone and performed with, I've supported. They used to do my shows that we used to all support. That's what's happened in the scene, you know? So, that's where it is. Like, there's no space. There's just be bigger, badder, bolder, wilder, jump higher, higher flames, higher this, more glitz, more glam, more whatever the fuck, more tattoos, whatever you can do. That's what is it is now. So that's why I do my weird-ass vaudeville act with my 6-inch fucking torpedo tip bra and shit. Like,
and they'll pay hundreds of dollars to go see these big acts, but they don't want to pay anything to see the small local acts.
No,
and everybody started as a small local act.
All of those big artists were small, tiny acts. Every single one of them. Every single one of them started out as a dancer at Juilliard or as a musician at some school. Every single one of them did school musicals, did ballets. Every single one of them wrote whatever. Every single one of those performers from the 70s, 80s, and 90s all grew up exactly like I did. All of them. I just didn't have the parent or the money. I don't have the rich, you know, person right. throwing money in my pocket and putting me up there.
I remember when I first started the show that I wanted to support independent musicians. I had a friend, we're not friends anymore, saying that she won't support this show because she doesn't support independent musicians. She supports big bands. I was like, girl, these big bands that you like used to be independent musicians, small bands.
Same girl, way. She was one of them. She still okay. is.
Anyway, George, want to say something? Go ahead, George. What are you going to say about all this stuff?
I think I forgot. The thing is, a lot of the artists that have come out, I think I can't remember who mentioned this. like the mainstream artists are all very safe options, that they're all predictable. There's no sort of rebellious big artist that's really saying what they think. Like you might have had U2 in the '80s, you know, talking about Africa and poverty and all this and that. Maybe in the '90s you had like Oasis and all those other bands who would just say whatever they wanted, cause a bit of controversy, but spoke their mind. But when you come into like these times, the last 10 years, there's no one really, they're all very, very structured. They're very, you know, Harry Styles, that's it. So something about Harry Styles, like he's just cool. But Taylor Swift, they don't say much. They won't be controversial and talk about, you know, I know Taylor Swift stood up to the industry a little bit with her album and her gaining rights to her music and all that. But I just don't think that there's, like, there was Rage Against the Machine. They'd say, you know, there's just, the mainstream, they're signing acts that are just safe and they won't speak up. And it's easier for them because then they can control them, you know. So I don't know. That's how I feel as well. Because even during lockdown, I noticed that all these artists here just went all quiet, you know. There wasn't enough financial support from governments, but because a lot of the artists that had a profile were sort of leaning towards that side of politics or a particular party, so they kept their mouth shut. They didn't identify as a music unit, as a family. We weren't united. I think people became divided, and then all of a sudden we don't have one voice. Everyone's just looking after themselves and keeping their you know, mouth shut. So I don't know. Maybe there's not enough rock and roll rebellion sort of happening as well. So that's just my...
Well, do you guys think that people are, well, we have a lot of controversy over here in the States right now, but are you terrified of, do you think people are, how do I want to start this? I know that a lot of people are finding things sensitive to their minds. Like, for example, I just read somewhere that today's society thinks Friends is not appropriate right now. They actually think it's controversial and it's not appropriate. So people this age thinks Friends, the series, is not good humor like we did growing up. So in the music industry, do you guys think that's the exact same thing going on? People are too are afraid to speak. Well, you guys have been saying to speak up. Well, I don't know what I'm trying to ask, but terrified to speak up because of being shut down, or what do you think is causing that problem? Even in their music, they're not speaking up. So what do you guys think is that's their biggest issue? Am I saying that, asking that correctly?
Maybe the fear of offending, because that's kind of the age that we're living in right now.
Right. Because right now they say friends are now defensive to this generation. I just read this like today, so that's right in my mind.
I heard anyway. About that as well.
Did you? Okay.
That's the thing. If this generation is offended by the past, which we all can't control, but they're not offended about what is happening now, and that is, you know, why am I paying $400 to see an artist that's coming into town? You know, they don't want to pay a local, they don't want to pay $10, $15 or even $5 to buy an independent artist's EP. You know,
right.
We're still, you know, so there's outrage for all that, which we Friends is what it was in its time. But even that, I do remember some diversity in that show. I mean, you know, there was, you know, it's nothing's perfect, but what about now? Like, you know, and you know, I'm only talking about music because it's what interests me, but you know, there's just, and everyone wants things for free, and you know, I just worry more about young bands, to be honest. I don't know where we're going to, where's the next real big band that's coming out? You know, where's the next, I don't know, again, U2, Metallica, Coldplay, like where are we going to, those bands are out there, but when are we going to hear them?
Nah, I have absolutely zero interest in that. I'm strictly only interested in the local scene and supporting small industry. And actually, as bands get bigger and start booking bigger venues, I quit going to them. I flip over and I stick with the ones that I can hang out with. I want to be able to sit down and have a beer. I want to smoke a bowl. I want to have a joint. I want to hang out and talk to these people. And if they don't have the time for me, if they've gotten too big, their heads are too big, whatever, their manager won't let them hang out with me. If I don't get VIP friendship time with them, then I'm done, because I know they're not going to turn around and support me anymore anyway. So why would I bother? You know, and that's the thing, is it's like, everybody's got big stars in their eyes. Oh my God, they're so amazing and huge. Yay, I get to go see this show with this person that I'll never talk to, I'll never hang out with, they'll never even know who I am, and I'm gonna pay hundreds of dollars to hang out with thousands of people. Like, to me, that is the most annoying experience I could possibly have. I support musicians and entertainers who support me. If they don't want to come to my shit, then I don't go to their shit. If they're charging way too much, they lose my money. I don't care at this point, because I'm doing this to express me. And yeah, like, I don't care. I'm not interested in the big stars unless they want to pay me to be in their video. Then we can talk.
yeah, I guess though that these, but artists, these young artists, they want to take on the world. They want to make it there. And sometimes we're part of their early journey, which most of the time, most bands, that's when they're most interesting. But then when they crack the mainstream, unfortunately, sometimes we have to hand them over to the mainstream. But, you know, they've got to, if that ambition to be the best and take on the world, I think it's a great thing. I mean, you don't want them to turn their backs on people, but unfortunately, you know, I like seeing a young band that's just got that drive that they want to be the biggest and best, and some don't. That's fine, you know. Like I can see your point, though. I'm not trying to say you're wrong, but like if you look at bands like Simple Minds, you know, you know, their early, their first two or three albums, like, were totally different. And when they cracked the mainstream with Don't You Forget About Me, that just translated into another sphere, and there's fans that are just focused on that period. And, you know, so, yeah.
Fans are fickle, and they go wherever they want to. Yeah. And, you know, they're like zombies. You just wave something at them and they follow. And I've seen local musicians literally drag it's the craziest thing to see, but yeah, I've seen them just like suck all the fans into their little thing, and they got them for like a year, and then they're gone, and they're like, oh no, my fan base. I mean, you can either run your musical career based off of your fan base, or you can run it based off of your creative abilities. And you can think about the part where this is record of my existence and my abilities after I die. And that's what I'm thinking about, because fans are crazy, fickle creatures.
Okay. Shauna wanted to say something long time ago. So finish your talk topic. We'll turn it to Shauna.
No, it's, I think you can't just discount the big bands. They still have their place, and it's still something for the younger bands to strive for, which I think George was kind of already saying. When we're supporting these young local bands, we're giving them the opportunity to sort of reach
whatever heights they want to reach. And if we're not doing that, if we're not supporting them locally, then we're basically, we're putting a cap on what they can achieve. And they, I guess that's all I really wanted to say.
I know that my nephew back in the day wanted to be a famous rapper. His thing was Enemy. I think that's right. He just wanted to be just like him. So at the time, I was being very big with the big promoters over here. So I was building Boston bands and all that stuff. So I had a stage for him. I go, if you can come here to Tacoma or Seattle, I'll put you on the stage and you can show me what you got. He never showed up. He goes, well, I need this, I need that, I need that. Like, no, you don't. You just need your vocal cords and stuff. He's like his aunt more than you think he is. But because I also drag my feet a lot too. But thing is, he had partners who wanted to go and they were ready to go, but again, he made excuses, again like his aunt does, where he couldn't continue to provide, so they dropped him and they went off on their own thing. And what I heard, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
and they're rap artists.
Yeah. I guess the other point that I should have made too is, yes, I mean, the bigger bands are getting all of the like all the people are going to those shows and nobody's showing up for the little shows. But an important thing to remember about those big bands, those bigger bands, whether they are outspoken about this or that or not, is that they're influencing the bands coming up. And so I guess we need to respect that to a degree as well. Cause even ourselves, even Giselle, I bet there were bigger bands that influenced you when you were younger. Even
well, there's hundreds and hundreds of big bands that have influenced me. I just choose to give my money to the people that are at my level.
And that's awesome. And that is awesome. And I agree with you there that people need to respect the value of local bands.
I mean, I enjoy all that music. It's just...
Yeah. Absolutely. But why do the tickets have to be hundreds of dollars, right? And yeah. And you know, the bigger bands you were saying, you know, like Taylor Swift, you know, she's not acknowledging you or local bands like you. Those should be opportunities for local bands to get some exposure as well. And that's not always happening. And another thing I see happening too is people showing up late to concerts hoping to skip the opening act. And that's a whole other level of not respecting the smaller bands.
Yep. Or like the really big acts showing up really late and only performing like half of their set or only like 10 minutes of their set or something like that. Like there's, you know, not only are we seeing like a lack of professionalism in some of the really, really big acts, but yeah, we're seeing like a lack of respect for just art in general. And so it's become like a money game. It's, you know, that's all that matters. It's a game of Monopoly and every single spot on the board is a venue and you're trying to get booked at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so... I think we have to value everyone who's doing really well.
Yeah.
And learn from them and listen to their music, but we don't necessarily have to give all of our, you know, give them all of the money. We don't have to be just supporting everyone who's doing amazing,
You bet. Yeah, our local bands, they need that support. Yeah. And and obviously that's a struggle we're having in all regions. Here we are, you know, you're U.S. and Canada, George is Australia. We're all kind of seeing that same struggle of trying to get people to come out and support these local bands.
Yeah. I did have Jen 2 on the show yesterday. He's also from your neck of the woods, George. And he was saying that it's also hard for him to get booked because everyone wants to see cover band or tribute bands. So is that more, if people drawing going towards that in everyone's area, or is it just here in the States? Go for George first.
Yes. You know, I think our casino here in Melbourne, I don't know if they have original bands anymore. They used to when, I mean, we played them when we were a lot younger. Every venue in there, it's all cover, mainstream top 40 cover bands. And or people who are, you know, just do corporate shows and corporate gigs and all that. And if you want to make some steady money, that's the way to go as a musician. But I personally, perhaps not good enough to learn so many top 40 songs well, but I just can't, it'd kill me as an artist, as a songwriter, to do that, because when I pick up the guitar, I just want to write songs and compose. But I find it sad because a lot of them get caught up in, some really enjoy that and they want to be doing covers and they're doing really well. But there are those who are doing it for the money, but they're sacrificing their art to do it. So they're playing music, but they're not, and it's killing them. I find that really, really difficult. At least they're playing though. I mean, but you know, but it's, I do see the cover band thing a lot. Yeah, unfortunately.
How about Canada?
Yeah, a similar kind of a thing here too. I mean, I've been in a band situation where we were primarily covers, and there's no shortage of gigs out there. Well, I wouldn't say that now. Pre-COVID, there were no shortage of gigs out there. We're post-COVID now. But still, there is that demand. People want to hear the songs that they already know. And so you either need to be a cover band or you need to be a well-established band that plays originals, because they want you to bring in that that following that you know is already familiar with your music. And when you are someone a little bit smaller and unknown, and you're a songwriter and you want to be true to your own craft, your own music, it's a little bit more limited. It's a little bit harder, unless somebody is having, say, specifically a singer-songwriter showcase, or we're lucky that there is actually one song stage here in Edmonton that's been going for a number of years. It's moved from different from one venue to another, but it's a song stage as opposed to an open stage. So they want actual singer songwriters to play at that, but still, it's small, and it's just one opportunity. If you're someone who kind of wants to grow as an artist or as a band playing original music, there's less opportunity, and it's a little bit harder to break into that. It's harder to become that band or solo artist with original music who has enough of a following that somebody actually wants you to come and play.
Giselle, I know that we are pretty big with people with tribute and cover bands, but what is your take on all this?
My take is that I am forcing myself into learning cover songs that I can play on my looper and basically putting together a cover set. That's my take on it. Like, you just have to conform to what the world is doing, and apparently having a cover set is like a thing that I have to do.
Yeah. Before COVID, I did ask one of the bands, I forgot what band he was from. So he's a local independent musician. He was at O'Reilly's when O'Reilly was going pretty good here in Tacoma. And he said that he was in a cover band, and that's how pays his rent, how he pays his bills, is working in a cover band. And then he plays his independent musician, you know, his original stuff on the side, because that was more not really making the money, but her band was. So I thought that was kind of fascinating and kind of sad at the same time. So
it's just ironic because every single song starts out as unknown. Mm-hmm. Every single band starts out as unknown. Every single performer starts out as a nobody.
I remember talking to Lane Bot. I was actually getting get back into my DJing where I spin and stuff. We don't spin anymore. But he was telling me back then is that if I wanted to do my own mixes, I got to start with cover mixes, then put into my own beats in the middle of everything. So I think that's kind of fascinating that even though you're a DJ and bands, you still got to play some kind of cover stuff or to get people to enjoy your original stuff. I just think that's fascinating. Just interesting. All right, so we covered. So what is one thing you guys want the independent musicians to know about? And I know Giselle's been getting things off her chest, but what is one thing you guys want to say, hey, wake up independent musicians, let's do this. What do you want to say? George, you're first.
I just think we're too predictable. We're not unified enough as an industry. And you know, it's just hard. Like I don't want to, cause we're artists. Like we're not, politicians. We're not, what are they called? You're an artist, you write songs, you put them together, you try and put a good show on and all that. Most artists aren't good business people. So it's just difficult. So, you know, there's got to be the genuine support out there for all types of artists and someone representing them and making sure that there's a platform for them to get out there and be able to play. Now, the thing is not everyone's good. It depends how you define good, but we've just got to have, and not everyone's going to make their full living out of playing music. So my advice to artists or my thoughts about what should happen is a bit mixed, because if you define your success as making music and living really well off it, that's, you've got to have a model that's going to head that way. If you define success as I just want to be actually writing and releasing music, and then I work a job to support that, then that's your success. So I think though, but holistically for those who want to make it their career, I really think that there's not enough strength. Like there's got to be, I don't know, like some type of union or some type of movement to really, really support. And artists should say to no matter what government is out there, whether it's left or right, whatever, we will not vote for you. We will not vote for you, because what governments rely on is no matter what industry it is, they won't care, because they think you're either going to keep on voting for them or you're not going to hold. I'm not just talking about governments, talking about councils and governors, and I'm not sure what you call them. Our countries have different political setups, but it's the same thing. Like if you're a politician, you go, well, will these artists, if I don't do much about them, is it going to matter? They're going to keep on voting for me, or they're going to keep on voting the other guy. But if we're a group where we go, we're united. If you're not going to issue grants to us or make sure there's platforms out there for young artists to be developed properly, then we won't vote for you. But we don't have that. We don't have that. And I think that we need someone to with leadership to do that. But yeah, that's my opinion.
Okay. Miss Shauna?
I guess simply I would like to say to local musicians, be the change you want to see. So, and I do see this happening to a certain degree, but I'd love to see more of it, of artists supporting each other, not just in terms of going to shows, but even something as simple as, you know, on your page, if there's another artist that you like, share their music. I've done that before. We need to come together, as George was saying. We need to come together as a community and support each other in a lot of different ways. And one of those ways is as fans of each other. You know, maybe we're too busy playing our own gigs to make it to a lot of shows, but that doesn't mean, you know, like I said, we can't, you know, share music on our own timeline or share somebody's page or share somebody else's gig. One of the nicest things that an artist ever did for me was when my album was coming out, a local artist that I knew, even though he had a show the same night, he shared the event for my album release. And,
really?
You know,
yes. That's cool.
And that was such a nice thing. And I think we need to see more of that. We need to see more of us supporting each other in that way, because it's an opportunity to expand a fan base. Because I mean, yes, just as a person sharing someone's music also expands their fan base. But on a music page, I think, it says a little bit more. If you're a fan, if someone is a fan of your music and you're saying, hey, listen to this music, I think that they're even going to be more likely to check it out. I think we have even a little bit more power within our own fan base than, say, the average person. And we should capitalize on that.
Miss Giselle.
I mean, I would say that number one, like, I mean, we all want to make money. We all wish we could be entertainers. We all wish we could survive full time on that level. I mean, I did it for like 8 years before I had my triplet sons. I was a full time entertainer. I wasn't a musician, but I was a dancer. Okay. But you have to understand that the world we live in isn't a fairy tale anymore, and everything's gotten complicated. And a lot of us, the vast majority of us, and even some of the really big stars, even that look like they're full-time musicians, they're not. They might be stockbrokers. They might have some other side thing. A lot of our big stars, actors, movie stars, they've got like side businesses where they're selling makeup or they're selling something, right? Nobody has one job. Nobody makes money off of one thing anymore. That's not a thing. That's a fantasy. We all have to have ways of making multiple income. So what is happening here? Some of the bands that are doing really well, they've got podcasts that they're running. They've got TikTok pages. They're doing whatever. They've figured out how to make money through multimedia. They have day jobs. I mean, some of them are teachers, so they're like a music teacher, and they have three bands that they perform in, you know. But I mean, it's not the fantasy thing that it used to be, and maybe in the 60s or 70s or even the 80s. Or even like in the 90s, it doesn't work that way. You know, you have to think of what long-term, like not just what you're doing today, but like what's the world going to see after you're dead? Because really good art becomes really valuable after the painter dies, after the sculptor dies, right? That's when the money happens, not when they're alive. So, you know, you have to be realistic about it.
I do know I had my episode 2. We were talking about bands that are full-time musicians who are actually doing this full-time. And one of them is out in New Jersey. I met her in a sponsored collective. It's a sponsored collected class I was taking to get sponsors. So did a little plug for them. And what her and her partner does, they actually have workshops aside as they can go out there and play music live. They have workshops to teach musicians, young musicians, how to write music or do music or learn how to play and all that stuff. So they are able to do side gigs, like workshops, and go to different places or to provide support for themselves. So do you guys do that at all? Or you guys thought about making your own little workshops to provide side money as you're getting ready to play? Or is that a concept? I don't know. Someone start.
Right now, I don't really have the time. I have a full-time job. And so for me, like, you know, not at this point. Maybe in a few years when I've got a longer playlist, I've got some more, you know, stuff, I'll branch into maybe some teaching. But right now I'm just, you know, juggling that full-time day job kind of, and really just focus, you know. That's the other thing, people, you were talking about, King George, you were talking about like the perception of how quickly you can perform. And, you know, with like these shows, you know, Idol and all these like competition musician shows or performance shows, right? Nobody really, like, there's very little attention to exactly how many hours we put into just being able to do the thing, how many hours we put into costuming, all the lesson time. I mean, that all is work, right? That all is part of our job. And we don't get paid for that time. We get paid for just the tiny bit that gets put out as a product, right? So a lot of us do. You have to spend several years writing, working on skills. That's where it's at.
All right, Miss Shana, what about you? Do you do workshops or anything like that?
I've actually given one songwriting workshop, and that was with Musical Mamas.
Okay. I'll miss them.
Yeah. So I did host one songwriting workshop. It was just on, I think I may have gotten a small honorarium for that, but it was more of a volunteer type thing. But it's something I would consider in the future. I sort of feel like though, I feel like I need to achieve something to give me the credibility. Like I need to, I don't know if other people feel that same way, that it's, I don't feel like I have something that I can say, well, hey, I've achieved this, therefore you should come learn from me, sort of thing. Once I have that under my belt, I guess I would feel more comfortable giving workshops. But I really enjoyed giving the songwriting workshop that I did, and I would love to do it again. And it's something I would consider in the future.
King George?
Yeah, I'm the same. I haven't really done anything like that. All the spare time I have is, you know, trying to do my thing. But, well, I also be very nervous about not being good at giving at it. but I'd love to, yeah, one day, just especially songwriting side of things, you know, do something like that. But also there's the credibility thing that was just mentioned now, Shana. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, shoot. I had one last question and I forgot what it was. Okay. It's all right. I'll think about it later and then I'll put this in the thing later. Yeah, it was a good one, but I forgot what it was. Alrighty, so is there any more topic you want to say one last thing before we close this interview thing? No?
Okay. Yeah, I wanna show my entire shirt off. Hold on. Fatal butterfly.
What does it say?
Fatal butterfly.
Oh, okay, that's yeah. Good.
I have like a really big order of shirts because Ben Axman talked me into ordering like a big order of shirts. So I have to start booking shows.
I want tank tops, baby. I want tank tops.
You can just cut the shirt into a tank top.
I know.
Ever send you my t-shirt? I should
me?
Send you.
No.
Yeah. It's an old t-shirt now because it's my album is 9 years old, but I did have a t-shirt with my album.
Oh, no, I never got anything from you. How rude.
I know, how rude. Okay, yeah. I'll make sure I send you stuff.
Okay, I'll well, then again, I haven't been doing the show for like 6 years.
Yes.
So I've been like gone for a while. Those who are listening in, I've been at school at Green River College. I'm graduating in December. I'm done, baby. And went to school to do this show professionally. The show originally was fine, but I kept thinking something was wrong with the show. Something was not right with the show. And I finally found out what it was. I didn't do my research on your guys' beautiful careers. I didn't allow you guys to introduce yourselves or anything. So that is what was wrong with the whole thing. And then I didn't do more niche of the other conversation. So, but I had to go to college to learn that. Who knew? So, yeah. So, actually, in this December, I'm hoping to have everything done. And it'll be actually 9 years since I created the whole entire project. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'll always remember that because it'll be the same age as my album.
Yeah, here you go. All right. So, go ahead and plug you guys yourselves one by one. We'll start with Shauna first. Where can we find you on your socials?
Okay, to make it very simple, if you go to shaunaspect.com, shaunaspect.com, there are links to all my socials on there, so that makes it very simple. Everything is kind of not very up-to-date at the moment, but if you keep an eye on things, I do plan on having some things happening in the next year. So there will be new music and so keep an eye out and I'll keep you posted. So
sweet. All right, King George.
Yep. I generally use the link tree, I think it's called.
I love
link tree. Link tree / King George Music. And for the Euro Theatre, it's the same thing. So / the Euro Theatre. So everything's there and there's a lot be happening in the next few months.
Cool. All right. Peter Butterfly.
All right. So I released my music through DistroKid, which means go to your favorite music streaming thing, type in Giselle, G-I-S-E-L-L-E, Fatal Butterfly. And you will find my stuff, or you can find me on YouTube, type in the same thing, Giselle Fatal Butterfly. Don't be confused by the video games that sometimes come up. That's not me. You might find stuff from back when I was in a band, or you might find stuff that's my solo. You can also find me on Facebook, either under Giselle Fatal Butterfly or Giselle Lopresti. So basically, look for a picture with my chest tattoo that's a whole bunch of roses and a guitar.
All right. One last question. I remember what it was. So we got you three are from the original show and the spinoff, or the reboot, actually. And there's one thing I am going to keep for the original show, and that is putting me on the hot seat. So you guys are allowed to ask one question each. Put me on the hot seat. And we'll start with Shauna.
Okay. What is your ultimate dream?
Oh my God. My ultimate dream is to travel the world. I want to travel and see it all. The wonders of the world. That is my ultimate dream.
That's a good dream.
Thank you. I can't tell you the rest of it because it's part of the new branding. All right, King George. King George, go.
Trying to think. You got me there. If you're going to travel the world, are you going to come here?
Yes. That was my plan 9 years ago before we lost Chris, but I'm still planning on coming out there. I want to meet you, and I want to meet...
some kangaroos?
Yeah, seeing kangaroos, and see your big giant spiders. They're terrifying, but yeah.
Crocodiles.
Do you guys have crocodiles over there?
Yeah. Oh, further north of Australia, there's big crocodiles.
Yeah, bigger than me. So yeah,
about I am 7 meters.
Yeah, I'm only 4'11", George. So yeah, I am planning on coming to Australia. That's one place I'd really want to go.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, Giselle got a question.
Yeah, that's okay.
You had two other guesses waiting for
No, here's the hot seat. So, what? Like, when are we going to have a big blowout party before you head out of Washington State?
What I want to do is that I want to have a graduation party if anyone wants to put one on in December. And then on August 25th, is my next birthday. I want to have a big, huge party. I always wanted an Oingo Boingo band or Oingo Boingo, an 80s thing. I want an Oingo Boingo band playing at my thing. I don't know what that is. I don't know because it's the word Oingo Boingo, but I want an Oingo Boingo band playing.
Do we have an Oingo Boingo cover band?
I don't know. Make one.
Do we?
I don't know. I don't know if we do or not. But I want to dress in the 80s, all 80s. Why? I don't know. I always
want to. Let me work on this. Okay. I got like a year, right? I got a year.
You have a year.
Okay.
You have 1 year. All right. So, so everyone can actually listen to Let's Talk About the Music. Go to letstalkaboutthemusic.com or ltatm.com. This, again, will be on every single podcast you can listen to, like Spotify, iHeartRadio eventually, and wherever you stream your podcasts these days. And then also, and thanks to Audioboom, it's going to be on Audioboom as well. And then 3 days later, it'll be on YouTube, and you guys will find all these beautiful social media people on my webpage, letstalkaboutthemusic.com. So, and there you go. We have basically supported each other all over the world in the music industry. Hope we all learned something, that we're all struggling, trying to make independent musicians, the world revamp itself from during COVID. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for joining on episode 4 of Seeing What's Going On with Local Music Around the World. If you want to come onto the show and talk about your experience after COVID-19, please hit me up at letstalkaboutthemusic@gmail.com. Until then, let's talk about the music, because the music is everywhere.